Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh, Benson Fixer brings Major League Baseball and all related things. Inside MLB, Inside MLB.
Good evening, Inside MLB fans. My name is Ben Fixer. It is Friday, May 6th, 2016, and a lot of baseball has been going on over the past days, and I'm here to take you into an exciting weekend filled with baseball. And first thing we're going to open off the show today is Wednesday. We talked about the Zika virus possibly canceling the Puerto Rico trip to Hypothorn Stadium between the Marlins and the Pirates from May 30th to May 31st. And the Marlins and the Pirates decided that the health are and making the trip to Hypothorn Stadium this May. So that said, the games were moved. They were moved to Marlins Stadium. And a Cuban official said this is touristic terrorism. Now, when I heard that statement, what I initially thought is that, I mean, everything was planned out, and then the tourists, they were all ready to go there. I mean, if you think that loyal teams, like loyal fans to those teams, they probably already booked their trips, booked their hotels, booked their flights, and they are technically going to have to go to Cuba. And I guarantee they'd rather be in Miami, or they could just eat the cost and go to Miami, but that would obviously cost more money. I sort of agree with the touristic terrorism, but I agree with, if you're listening on Wednesday, that when health and safety concerns, they come into play, especially with children with the Zika virus, I believe it is a smart idea for them not to go to Puerto Rico. If the Zika virus was not the front lines of the Puerto Rico, then obviously they would still be playing there as scheduled, but since Zika is there, they will not be playing. Anyway, we are going to be talking about everything that happened last night. We'll talk about what's going to happen tonight, and we'll take you into the week. And also, we're going to, a little bit later, we're going to get into the state of the game and some possible expansion might be going on. That'll all be on this episode. We have a lot to get to, so let's get started right away with another exciting episode of Inside MLB. All right, we're going to start off with talking about Jose Altuve for a minute. And yesterday, against the Mariners, he had his sixth leadoff homer of the year. Now, Altuve's career high for home runs is 15. He already has 9. And just think about that. 6 of them are leadoff home runs. That's crazy. He's already at 9. His career high is 15. And my one hypothesis for why he has more power numbers is he's always had a controlled, violent swing. It's sort of violent. I mean, he bashes the ball. You have to when you're that tiny size-wise. So he always has an amazing swing. He has to. But the one thing that he has to do, and in 2013, he was a little bit more closer to the plate. And when you're closer to the plate, there's not enough room to extend your hand on an inside pitch. You'd often be jammed on that, or he'd try to go inside out of the ball, push it into right field, and he'd often get a hit on it, right? Over the years, he's been moving a little bit farther from the plate. He's also been incorporating a leg kick into his swing. That leg kick has really been helping the leg kick, which is being used by a lot of players. The Blue Jays, in specific, they have Jose Bautista uses a huge leg kick off of Josh Donaldson. And George Lewiski at the beginning of April's spring training was used on leg kick, but he went back to his toe tap. Also, one thing we'll get into later talking about George Lewiski, and we're going to do a little bit of doctor work and see how we can fix George Lewiski's batting average of .163. Anyway, Jose Altuve, incredible power numbers, always 6 leadoff home runs, and it's just amazing to see what that little man is doing. Another surprising thing that happened last night when I was looking at the box scores, Justin Pedroia, he was hitting in the cleanup spot, and usually David Ortiz would either bat there or third, and the fact that he was batting cleanup was a little bit interesting because, if you remember, he did win the MVP in 2008. He hasn't really been the same since then. He's been on the shelf a lot with injuries, but, I mean, he's sort of been going under the radar recently, and not many people are talking about Justin Pedroia, but he does have power to be in the cleanup spot. And once David Ortiz retires. Pretty much, Dustin Pedroia will have all the active franchise highs. So Dustin Pedroia, he's been with the Red Sox for forever, and I think it is, they're just paying homage to him right now by batting him in the fourth spot. I think it's pretty cool. Former Pirate last night, he walks off against the Yankees with the Orioles. A sacrifice fly in the 10th inning. And we're going to talk about Pedro Alvarez for a second. And when he started his career, he went to Vanderbilt University, drafted by the Pirates in the first round. So he came into the major league career, but everybody knew he had power. He started off as a third baseman. He was a pretty good third baseman. He could always get to the ball. But the throws, they were the problem. He just could never hit first base. So the Pirates tried to do last year is they moved him to first base position. They moved him to first base, and he had most errors as first baseman. It was still better than at third base, but it was still a struggle. Then he, the Pirates don't, they non-tender him, so he's a free agent, just like Chris Carter from the Astros, who's now in the Brewers, doing amazing. We'll get to that later. But Alvarez, he goes to the Orioles very late in spring training, and he either DHs or plays first base, and he's not having that successful of a season, but, you know, he is definitely a role player for a Baltimore Orioles organization, and we just need to see him walk it off on the sacrifice fly in the 10th inning, and as always, the Orioles, they got their bubblegum, and they showered him with it, so pretty cool there. Brandon Phillips last night, he had his third homer of the year. His power just has not been there. It is lacking. One of the difficult problems I see right now with Brandon Phillips is that the breaking ball is down in the zone. He's not laying them off. He's turning to more of a free swinging man. I don't know if that's because of lack of production in the lineup. Joey Votto's probably seen better pitches. Well, actually, he's probably seen worse pitches now because Phillips has been doing well. But there's nobody really behind to protect him. Eugenio Suarez might at times bat behind him. Jay Bruce could. But it's not enough threat to give Brandon Phillips the pitches he needs to head out of the ballpark. He only hit his third home run of the year last night. Now somebody mash him. Chris Carter for the Brewers. He is 10th home run of the year. Now, Chris Carter, non-tendered from the Houston Astros, he just struck out too much. It was plain and simple. And plus, the Astros, they have guys kind of Tyler Wade's playing amazing. Well, he started off amazing. Then he has A.J. Reed, the prospect of the future. He's coming up. So you see all that. It's good right there. But then there was no room for Chris Carter, so they non-tendered him. He ended up being a free agent. The Brewers went out and they signed him. I think it was a good sign because pretty much they went out there thinking, this is a nice, buy-low, high-risk forward type of guy. And in Miller Park, he can kill the ball. He's been killing the ball so far this year. And he is a perfect trade candidate come August 1st. He will be on a different team by that time. The Brewers are obviously a rebuilding team at this point. They still have some good core pieces, guys like Ryan Braun, Jonathan Lucroy, they are still quality players. But Chris Carter is not the homegrown. He's not the face of the franchise. So it's a pretty easy deal. They're going to train with somebody, probably a contender, and they will get their load of prospects from because they, I guess, made the smart move in the offseason, and nobody could have predicted this. Nobody could have predicted or told me that Chris Carter is going to have 10 home runs so far this year, and Brandon Phillips is going to have 3. It's just ludicrous how this baseball season is going, but this is baseball. Anything can happen on any given day. Chris Carter is proving that right now. In other news, Brant Lee last night, he was amazing. He was 4-for-5 with a double and 2 RBIs, and he saved a extra bases, diving into the left field corner, robbing extra bases, and he has been outstanding since he's been back. Michael Brantley, it's a different Indians team with Michael Brantley compared to when it's not with Michael Brantley. And I'm going to get to a little bit of the core pieces and the good signings that the Indians have made to put around Michael Brantley because the Indians, as most of you probably know, they do have the pitching staff, but they are lacking the offense. With Michael Brantley out for all of April, it wasn't really good that it wasn't there because he's the face of the franchise. He's the face of the offense. He's the one that gets things going. But he is back. Last night, 4-5, a double, and 2 RBIs. He had the go-ahead RBIs late last night. The White Sox, they are a surprise story. Right now, they are 19-10, and they are just doing amazing. Amazing. I mean, people are talking about the Windy City World Series. First off, the Cubs have to get there for the first time since 1908. It's looking like it is a likely story, but, you know, it's baseball. Again, anything can happen on any given day. And that show with Chris Carter that we were talking about just a little bit earlier. But more into the White Sox being 19-10. I think the Todd Frazier trade was absolutely ingenious. Perfect trade. Sparked the offense, and you get Brett Lowry. He's doing well right now. And the offense, it's there. Adam Eaton's playing well. The pitching, it's there. And Matt Latos. When the White Sox first signed him, I thought the White Sox were a rebuilding team, personally. But obviously, they proved that they're not. They're 19-10 so far. And I thought it might have been a nice flip at the trade deadline if he did well. But he's doing well, and he is not going anywhere. I mean, that punch in the rotation, Sale, Rodon, Quintana, Latos, it's a quality rotation. With the offense that they have, and if those pitchers are clicking on all cylinders, this White Sox team is a dangerous team. And I would not be surprised if we're seeing a Windy City World Series come October. And it would just be amazing to see because Cubs have not made the World Series since 1908. And I personally think if the Cubs were to win the World Series, it would be the best ever seen, ever. You just don't go that long with such a good fan base and have the curse of the Billy Goat, Bartman, and all this. It just doesn't happen like that. And people are talking about Billy Goat strikes back again. Kyle Schwarber goes down. Chris Brown with a mild ankle sprain. But guess what? The Cubs just keep winning. And when you see the World Series, just keeps getting closer and closer to each other. Last night, the Tigers, they played the Indians. And we're talking about the Indians a little bit more. We're going to talk about them a little bit more now. The Indians won 9-4. And one specific guy I like to talk about in that Indians lineup, well, it's Michael Brantley, is Mike Napoli. And whenever he's thrown into a lineup, it seems to change the organization, seems to change the offense. We start off with Texas. I really remember him as a player in Texas. He did amazing for them. Him and Josh Hamilton, they were mashing balls all over the place, and he made it to the World Series that they never won. He's over to Boston. He's fantastic. Won a World Series. Now he goes to Cleveland, and he's changing the organization. Even though his numbers aren't home runs, 17 RBIs, numbers you have to circle, 5 home runs, 17 RBIs. I know all these saber metrics, they're going to think, okay, war's going to matter, all these advanced stats are going to matter, but no. He's driving runs. He's hitting home runs. He is in a lineup with the Latin version of Mike Napoli, Juan Uribe. And the thing is, they really did have some good signs. Juan Uribe and Mike Napoli to go with Michael Brantley. And they sort of went under the radar, but they're not going under the radar right now. Because Uribe and Napoli, they're playing well. Michael Brantley's playing well. And the Indians with a nice win last night, 9-4. Now, to start off the show, we talked about who's the Altuve. But another dynamic second baseman that he squared off against last night was Robinson Cano. And Altuve and Cano, I'm going to compare them for a second. Right now, Altuve is 29 games. Cano is 28 games. Cano has 9 home runs. Altuve has 9 home runs. And they are just dynamic, both of them. Altuve is a little bit different, and Cano is a little bit different. They have different playing styles. Altuve, he likes to hit the ball over the park, but now he's getting into more of a power stroke. Cano, he plays 100 to 50, 155 games per year. He doesn't always give us hardest, but if he keeps up this trend, he will be a no-doubt Hall of Famer. Jose Altuve has had over 200 hits in 2 straight years. Again, that has to do with his inside-out approach, but he is getting more power. So with all things considered, these two are dynamic. Jose Altuve, he just goes out there every day and he plays. When the Astros were bad, he was the face of the franchise. After Wandy Rodriguez was traded to the Pirates, Altuve was sort of thrown in, you're the face of the franchise, perform. Well, he has definitely performed, and he has stepped up to the task. Now that he has players around him, he needs to sort of rally the troops, because the Astros, eventually, this slow start is going to turn into not sort of a slow start, but a bad season. And they need to turn that around fast, because this team is too good not to be in the playoffs. And if you remember Sports Illustrated's prediction, I thought I was going to be right, but as of right now, not looking too good. Robinson Cano, again, he plays 150 to 155 games each and every year. Okay. Last year, his numbers, they weren't Robinson Cano-like. But you have to expect that when he's going into Seattle, because Dave Gifford was a lot different than Yankee Stadium. You have to accept that. All you can say is that the short porch for him right field, 314 feet. Jacob, it's a little bit deeper than that was then. But no, he was hurt last year, if you didn't know that. He had the double hernia, right? And he put himself in the lineup. He manned up. He knew the Sabres were going to suffer, but he went into the lineup no matter what. He's also called him out of his hitting coach before, Andy Van Slyke. And Robinson Cano, he is a leader for that team. And when Robinson Cano slumped last year, the microscope was even further onto him. And people saw that he wasn't running out of each thing. He wasn't even 100% all the time. But honestly, the players, they do go out. And it's hard to give 100% every single play. Some players do. Robinson Cano just isn't the type. That's not a type of game. And we are going to take a quick 30-second silent break. If you listen to the show before, we usually play some fun game show music during the break. But since my internet is currently not working, we're just going to have a quick 30-second break so I can get my notes together. And when we come back, we're going to be previewing the Mariners and the Astros game tonight, where Tylan Walk will square off against Doug Fister. That is next. Now we're back on Inside MLB. We've been talking about the dynamic second baseman in the league, Dustin Pedroia, Jose Altuve, Robinson Cano, Byron Phillips, off to a slow start. He's also in that dynamic class now. The second baseman aren't doing so well this year. That's what throw Neil Walker into that category. But now we're going to sort of move our attention into games going on tonight. Mariners and the Astros, they will be playing again. Tylan Walker will be going for the Mariners, Doug Fister for the Astros. And Tylan Walker, he's been a prospect for a while, but I think it's now his turn to turn things around, get things going. Doug Fister, pretty much with him, I think it was a good signing, but he hasn't really been doing well so far. You go to the Manchester Tigers, and you see a nice pitch. You get Cole Hamels going up against Jordan Zimmerman, and you get Zimmer mania. I mean, Jordan Zimmerman is pitching the best pitching he's ever pitched in his life. Quote from him. Cole Hamels, ever since he's been traded from the Phillies, he's been doing well in the Rangers, and the Tigers will score off tonight. You get the Mets Padres, and last night, Will Myers, I'll talk about him first. He hit his sixth home run of the season, and the bigger story, Colin Ray had a no-hitter through 7 2/3 innings. Padres went on to win 9-3. And one thing that I do want to bring up, Colin Ray was pulled after he gave up his hit. And the fact that the Padres almost blew the game, but the Mets offensive relentless, Cespedes hit a shot last night. So if he's doing that, the Mets will might win when there are no hits with 7 2/3. The only tonight for the Mets is Noah Syndergaard, the young flamethrower. But for the Padres, Drew Palmer, I saw him pitch a couple weeks back, and he reminds me of a Clayton Kershaw. When he has his pitches going, his stuff going, he can be as good as any pitcher in baseball. He has a nasty curveball, late tight movement, and if you're facing a hitter, it is devastating. I would not be surprised if the Padres went on to win, and I would not be surprised if the Mets went on to win. Big news for the Pirates, they are probably really excited about this. Jung Ho Kang is back from injury tonight. He will be batting sixth in the lineup and playing third base. One of the things, though, that David Priest probably will miss is that he will not be playing after he is making his homecoming to St. Louis. He has not played there since the Cardinals traded him to the Angels. So maybe he'll get a pinch hitting opportunity. I bet he will. And we'll see what kind of ovation he gets, because I bet you there, you'll remember the 2011 World Series and what he did against the Rangers, his heroics. I guarantee you he'll get standing ovation, and I will be excited to see the ovation for myself. Gone last year, he batted 287, had 15 home runs and 58 RBIs. And even though he's playing tonight, the Pirates don't have to force him into the lineup right away. They really don't. Because, again, they have David Freese, they have Josh Harrison, and they have Drew Mercer. And he can play the middle infield, and he can play the hot corner at third base. So they already have the core pieces. They're 15-13, pretty good right now. They are just behind the Phillies for that second wild card spot. And Jung Ho Kang, again, does not need to be put right back into the lineup right away. But if it has to be that way, then I'm all for it. So Jung Ho Kang does tonight, and if he can return to his ways from last year, that would be awesome for him. And the Pittsburgh Pirates, if they are trying to get out of a four-game losing streak, they got swept by the Cubs. The Cubs, again, they're dealing right now, and they lost a wild game to the Reds at the start of the losing streak, after they had a six-game win streak. So last time they are 6-4. It looked like a promising first time with the first six wins, but then the four straight moved them down to 6-4 in their last 10 games. Another game going on tonight is Angels and Rays. Rasmus will be going for the Angels. Chris Archer will be going for the Rays. But bad news for the Angels right now. The report came out today that Garrett Richards is expected to undergo Tommy John surgery. And this is just a blow to them because he was injured late last year when they needed him the most. And it just didn't work out for the Angels. Now, he didn't really start because they said it was fatigue. But now the torn UCL surgery, Andrew Haney is also going. And people are talking about, should we trade Mike Trout? The question was asked to the general manager. He said, absolutely not. Mike Trout's not good. But think about the return the Angels could get from Mike Trout. Think about it. Could they get, like, a Clayton Kershaw from Mike Trout? That would be definitely a superstar deal. Be pretty cool to see it go down. Probably the biggest trade of all time. I'd like to see it, but it probably won't happen. Mike Trout's not good. Anyway, Archer, I saw him pitch on opening day against the Blue Jays. Wasn't too hot. He hasn't been doing too well. Run support really hasn't been there. And maybe the Angels are just devastated from this, and the Braves will sneak out with a win tonight. We talked about Chris Carter and how he might be traded. Again, I think he has become a trade candidate, and he'll definitely be somewhere else. Chris Carter, he has 100 home runs since 2013, which is impressive. It stops there. So he's a power hitter. He could definitely go to probably an American League team, DH him, or he could also play first base. But American League team, I think, would be best suited for him. And he could definitely do well for them if he continues to be his power numbers. And the Birds could get a nice return from it as well. Tim Lincecum had his pitching prospect showcase today. And we're talking about where he could land. Where could Tim Lincecum land? I think now the Angels have to be an obvious candidate with Richards going down. I think the Giants, the Dodgers, the Athletics. If he wanted to stay on the West Coast and the teams that want him or possibly need him on the West Coast, it looks like he'll be doing that. In his career, he's 108-83 with a 3.61 ERA, 1.27 whip, and a high 9.3 strikeouts per nine innings pitched. I think the Angels most likely make sense for Tim Lincecum because of Haney and Richards going down. The Giants might need him because Petey and Kane, they just aren't clicking. The Dodgers, their rotation is nice right now. They have Branky, Maeda, Buster Posey is pitching well, Alex Woodson there. But Tim Lincecum could be a nice fit, steal them from the Giants. The Dodgers and the Athletics, they try to solidify their pitching. They did it with the bullpen. They didn't really do it with rotation. Henderson Alvarez, I think, was a nice low-key signing. Manea's been doing well, but I think he might be a nice fit just across the bay for Tim Lincecum right to Oakland. So where I think he'll land, I think the Angels, they need him the most, and he could pitch right away. Some people don't think that. Some people think the Dodgers. Some people think the Giants and the Athletics. What do you ask me? If I'm putting money on it, I'm putting money on the Angels. I just realized something today. I realized that Evan Longoria's career has gone by so fast. It really has. In his rookie season, he had no children. Now, he already has two children, and one of his children are already in grade school. He has been, obviously, the face of the franchise. He is first in practically every franchise except, I think, two. Carl Crawford is ahead of him, I think, in games played and one other thing. But besides that, he's definitely the face of the franchise. He's the offense. He's everything. And as he matures, his children, they're beautiful. I saw a clip of them today. And his career has been going by so fast. I don't want it to end anytime soon. But hopefully all the stars will end well. And maybe the Rays will get back to the World Series for him. Maybe he can get a ring on it, I think. The Marlins right now, they are hot. They've won 10 of their last 11. In those 11 games, they're scoring 4.9 runs per game. They've hit 17 home runs and have an 848 OPS. I mean, they are doing amazing. And some of this, it has to do with Adam Conley, the kid that almost had a no-no that Don Mattingly took out. Then what did he do last night? He's up a two-hitter. And what I was thinking about him is that he, you know, Alex Wood, Andrew Miller, he's sort of similar to them. He has sort of the funky windup. He's sort of like them. And when hitters, if you're facing out the funky windup that you're just trying to figure out, Adam Conley, that's why his success is being so well. He went 11 and a third hitless streak from his no-hitter to last night. He went 5 and a third last night, only allowing 2 hits, and he is quite amazing. He really is. And when D. Gordon was suspended, you might think the clubhouse would have went downhill. But this, I sort of thought that too. I thought this is it. This is a downward spiral. It always happens for the Marlins, but it has not happened yet. In fact, they're not going on a downward spiral. They just keep going up and up and up. They're going to the stratosphere. And ever since D. Gordon was suspended, Derek Dietrich, he is stepping up for them. He's manning up, and he realizes he has an opportunity right now. He has an opportunity to solidify his position with the Miami Marlins and possibly get an everyday job. That's what he's trying to do. And Derek Dietrich, I think, could possibly deserve that over the next 80 games, depending on what he does. But one sweet swing that I saw last night, Christian Yelich, he just killed a ball. Stayed back, and I was doing sort of a comparison. You know who he looks a lot like? He looks a lot like his hitting coach. And when Yelich came back in the dugout, Bonds and Yelich, they hugged it out. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking that it's like we've been working on it, and pretty much Barry Bonds, I think he was brought to the Marlins for Christian Yelich. And Christian Yelich has just been doing amazing, and that is obviously good news for the Miami Marlins. The Marlins are definitely hot. Tonight, the Marlins square off against the Phillies. Vince Velasquez, he has been a very nice pickup for the Phillies, who got him with a trade with the Houston Astros for Ken Giles, and the Phillies are definitely winning that trade as of right now, but a lot of things could change between now and the time that we figure it out. For the Marlins, Y.N. Chen is going tonight, and here's the thing. If Y.N. Chen, Jose Fernandez, and Adam Colley can pitch as well as they're pitching and possibly go into the playoff series, I think that they can be as good as anybody. Those three, if they're on, they're amazing. I predict a Marlins win tonight. They'll win 11 of their past 12. Last night, Jaime Garcia, he was nasty, and he can really be nasty. But it just depends if he's on the shelf or not. If he's on the shelf, he can't be nasty. That's obvious. But when he's in there, and he's got his pitches working, it can be amazing. Cardinals went on to win 4-0, and some of the offense had to do with Brandon Moss's 462-foot shot. He tied Tony Mercer for the longest time of the year. Tony Mercer hit his in Arizona, but Brandon Moss absolutely killed it. Tonight, Moss will be batting fourth behind Holiday and in front of Molina, and we'll see how he does tonight against the Pirates as the Cardinals are looking for revenge. Last night, we'll talk about the people that really did well. Jay Happ was dealing. Master Tanaka, really the only reliable player in that Yankees team. He was dealing. Buster Posey, he was mashing. Chris Carter hit another home run. Jose Altuve had another leadoff home run. And it was just fantastic. So later on in the show, I'm just going to give you a tease right now. I'm going to be a doctor, right? And I'm going to be talking about Troy Tulowski's batting average and how it is dangerously low. We'll figure out about that. What I want to talk about right now, though, is Zimmer mania. And if you don't know what it is, that is Jordan Zimmerman and how well he is pitching. He's pitching amazing. I saw him firsthand when he pitched against the Pirates. Lights out. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, he is amazing. The Tigers obviously made the right choice when signing him, and he is worth every nickel, every cent of what the Tigers are paying. And it is just amazing what they were able to do with him and how well he is doing thus far. Quite amazing, if you ask me personally. We have to take a quick 30-second silent break on this thing. I'll be rich for the silent break if you're just tuning in. It's because my Wi-Fi is not working, so usually if you listen, there will be music on Monday, I believe. But until then, it will just be a quick 30-second silent break. When I come back, we're going to be talking about Joe Ross and how amazing he has been right now. Then I'm going to diagnose towards the whiskey's problems and what he needs to do to get that batting average up, because right now it is dangerously low. I'll see you in 30 seconds on Inside MLB. We're back on Inside MLB. We've been talking about the dynamic second baseman to this game. Jose Altuve, Dustin Pedroia, Brandon Phillips trying to get together, the dynamic second baseman in today's game. Before that, we were talking about the Marlins, how hot they've been being. Jung-Hoo Kang's back, and Chris Carter should be traded. But now we're going to get into Joe Ross and how he is pitching amazing right now. Most of you know Tyson Ross, his brother in San Diego. But Joe Ross, he's just been just as amazing, and he has a opportunity for the rotation now, just like Tanner Roark. And he is pitcher amazing. The Nationals are playing amazing. And it is just exciting to see what this young man, the numbers he can put up. It's exciting. It really is. And if you're looking for excitement, check out Joe Roth. Ben Zobrist, right now, he is getting out of his funk. He is now an everyday second baseman. The Cubs, they're 20. And one of the surprising things with the Cubs right now, when the Cubs, they signed Zobrist, Joe Madden loves him, had him in Tampa Bay, signed for his versatility. Chris Bryant, depends on the third base kind of guy, right? Look at this. Zobrist has 24 starts at second base and one start in right. Chris Bryant has more starts in right with 3. 11 in left field and only 18 at third base. That's surprising. That really is. Chris Bryant, he's a 40-homer type of guy. And I don't think they should be messing with Ben Zobrist because he is known for versatility. Now, Joe Madden loves versatility. Sometimes he just does some stuff because, you know, he's bored. He wants to mix things up. But sometimes you just got to leave your stars alone. Chris Bryant, he's a guy that needs to be at third base every day. He's that kind of guy. And if they want to use him as that kind of guy, then that is the way they are going to do so. Yeah, so Chris Bryant, you should probably be starting every day at third base. Ben Zobrist, he might be able to play in right field. There's a reason that's a fourth outfielder. There really is. And the fourth outfielder should be playing that spot, not Chris Bryant. Ben Zobrist could possibly play that spot, but their infield, it should be nice and easy every day. Anthony Rizzo, Ben Zobrist, Addison Russell, Chris Bryant, that way from first to third around the horn. It's not that hard, though, man. I hope you can get it right because it'll be nice for the Cubs to. I mean, they're off to a tour base. They're not doing anything wrong. But I just want to see that one thing go right. And we were talking about the other day how strikeout rates, they are extremely high. Extremely high. And right now, Nolan Arenado, you're probably like this if you're one of the three true outcome guys. Nolan Arenado right now has more home runs than he has strikeouts. That is pretty cool. That doesn't really happen in today's game. If you are a power hitter, you strike out a lot. Nolan Arenado, no. People don't like Nolan Arenado, I think, for this one reason. He plays in Colorado. Everybody's offensive numbers when you play in Colorado, it's underrated. People look at it and they say, it's not real. That thin air does way too much to it. Nolan Arenado's splits are absolutely the same thing. You probably know that if you follow baseball as much as I do. So he should not be undervalued. He's also a 40 home run type of guy. And he banged up Matt Kim last night. And had a very rough outing. And it was just amazing. The Rockies went on to win 17-3. They blew out. They absolutely blew it out. The Giants. And the one thing that happened, people were saying, the guy like Trevor Story, his numbers are all because of Coors Field. Well, they're not. He had a ball and a deep ballpark out on a chilly night. He's a power guy, too. And people have started realizing that the Rockies, they're power guys. They're actually power hitters. I mean, every fly ball on Coors Field is not going to go out. It's just not how it works. Some things are going to be caught. Some things are going to stay in the yard. And Coors Field does affect a lot of things. That's why the runs are scored such a high amount there. But it doesn't affect everything. And people need to realize that and get some credit to Nolan Arenado, really. One of the interesting things so far this year in Major League Baseball is the National League West. And there's a three-way tie atop it. And people there, they are all at 500. The Giants, the Dodgers, and the Rockies. And people talk about, if you don't win the West, you're making a wild card spot. But now I'm thinking, if the Pirates don't win the Central, they're going to make a wild card spot. And whoever comes in second in that, at least is going to make a wild card spot. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think the West is going to get a wild card team because of their non-successful start, you could say. It just hasn't been there so far. They probably need to get it together. And, I mean, you can't get a division together. But hopefully one of these teams can get a little bit better than they've been so far. They play each other a lot, so unless they are dead even against each other, and each team just brings each other's records down, I can understand that. But I think the NL West, it has the possibilities to be a lot better. Could Greinke being taken away possibly have any effect on this? Yes. But you never know. It's just the truth with all of this. So let's move on here on Inside MLB. We're going to move into how a lot of first pitch swing offs in the talk of Jared Cole. And it was really a rough night for him. I want to go through the Blue Jays lineup and talk about how well each one of those played so far. Kevin Pillar, Josh Bones, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, Justin Smoke, George Lewiski, not been playable, we'll get to him in a sec, and Russell Martin. They were first pitch swing. When they got the pitch against Jared Collins, they killed it. And when the Blue Jays offenses 1-9 crushing the ball into Lewiski, got a home run. It's just magic. Magic in a bottle. Something in a bottle. And nobody can stop a Blue Jays lineup when it's clicking. When it's clicking, I don't care. You can have Kershaw out there. You can have any pitcher out there. They're not going to stop. They are an unstoppable offense when they are on. And that is just the keys with them. But let's move into Troy Tulowitzki for a second. Since Tula has been traded from Colorado to Toronto, he just hasn't been hitting. Since he hit .163. And if he is too stressed, he's stressed because he wants to impress. You see guys like Josh Donaldson there, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion. They're all doing so well. He wants to be like them, hit the home runs like them. But that's not the kind of person he is. And he needs to, I think personally, he needs to bring back the toe tap. The toe tap I was using car oil. It was to get yourself back on the ball. And so when you swing the bat, all your force is going into the ball. But Tulowitzki, he really, I think, needs to cut himself some slack. It's mostly mental with him. And I think he needs to tinker with some stuff. Kyle Ripken Jr., I heard an interesting story today. He used to take 12 dozen balls to the cage. And one day when he was in a slump, came back in the ball. So what he decided to do was he took the bat and he sort of wound up like a pitcher when hitting. And when he hit it, it sort of helped him get back. He obviously didn't do that in the game. But I think Tula needs to start tinkering because his toe tap right now, he's gliding through it. And that's not how you do a toe tap. A toe tap, you tap to get back. It's pretty much tap up front, tap where you originally started, your back, and then you can just explode on the ball. Right now, he's sort of just, it's like a leg kick, but obviously not one. It's a weird toe tap. Look, I suggest you look at it because it's not the toe whiskey we saw in Colorado. And everybody in that Colorado is just a superstar. Cut yourself some slack. You need to relax a little bit up to the plate. I mean, you're a well-known player. Everybody loves you. And if you not get things together, you not be at the top of the lineup. People thought Tulowitzki would be at the top of the lineup. Where are they going to fit him? Such a big superstar. When you're batting .163, I know you have your home runs on this. I know that, okay? But when you're batting as poorly as you're batting right now, it's just not going to happen. You have 5 home runs, that's great. But the batting average needs to get up. It is dangerous, though, on the brink of not going to be in the lineup. And he needs to figure it out. And again, bring back the toe tap. That's all he has to do. He has to work on the batting cages, put in the efforts, get it so he's getting back in the ball. Smashing again, all fields. He doesn't need to be Josh Donaldson with a leg kick. He tried to do that in April and spring training. He wanted those ups. He went back to what's comfortable this month. Hasn't been doing well. The reason is he's gliding to the toe tap. Bring it back tonight with George Felisky. I hope you're listening, and you will do well. Rob Manfred today spoke about the state of the game and talked about the possibility of expansion. And he said once the labor deal is worked out and Tampa and Oakland get their stadium situations fixed, the game will expand. And the front runners right now are Montreal and Mexico City. Now, of course, the labor deal has to get worked out, and that will be end of 2017. So it won't happen until 2018. Oakland and Tampa Bay are not getting the stadium anytime soon. So I assume that there will not be expansion until 2025. We are probably still 10 years away from the expansion team coming. There will be two to get to 32, and one will go to the National League, one will go to the American League. And my best guess is what will happen is there will be four divisions of four teams. No wild card. That'll probably be best. Get it unified again. I like the 18 format more than 10 team formats because that one, those two teams that lose in the wild card game each and every year, their playoff loss one night. That's not enough. I like the way with the wild card team, they're rewarded. They got to the series. Now, I know people like how they should punish the team that won their division, but honestly, Pirates ran into Jake Arrieta. Pirates ran into Madison Bumgarner. What are they going to do? Such talented teams shouldn't have to play each other in one game to decide who goes to the series. Should always be a series. At least three. At least three. Speaking of the state of the game, instant replay, it is really taking too long. Wrong man friend, his initiative right now is to lower the amount of time it takes, you know, to play a game. That's the goal, because people say they don't have enough time to watch baseball. But one thing that I want to say is instant replay is taking too long. I think that's the problem. Instant replay, they need to cut it down. It should be bane. They should, I know they're always watching New York, and I know sometimes you have to deal with angles, but it's just taking too long. Make the call right away. And if you can't figure it out, most likely it's not definitive. Whatever angle you have, you can look at it 1,000 times. You can say 1,000 different things. But there are several umpires, and they have to come to a consensus. And that consensus takes too long. If there's any disagreement, just say, call and field stands, because that's going to keep the game going. Managers might be tossed more often, but the game will keep on going. And that's pretty much the goal. Keep the flow of the game moving. Keep it going. And that's what I want to see mostly out of the game of baseball. And I'm excited that Ron Manfred wants to expand. Quick news flash. We are going to be doing a 45-minute show, not an hour show tonight, because I have to get ready for the Pirate game. They start at 8:15. So, sorry if you wanted to tune in for an hour, but it'll be 45 minutes. So let's hurry up and get these last 2 minutes in right now. And the question I want to ask is, will the Twins make changes? Right now, they're at 8-20, 10.5 games back, and the GM says they will not make changes. I think they should. It needs to happen. They need to get into a rebuild. They have talented players. There should be a quick rebuild. But if they don't do it, they could be bad for a long time. Aledmys Diaz, he has the highest OPS out of any player in the National League right now. But who's the best rookie shortstop? Could it be Diaz, not Story? I think it is. Diaz, he is a more consistent Story. Again, I'm one of the people that's biased with Colorado. I think Diaz is better. Story doesn't strike out as much as Story. When Donnie Brown comes back, what's going to happen to Diaz? The Cubs right now, they're trying to figure out a way to have Johnny Peralta and Aledmys Diaz in the same lineup. Pirates and Cardinals, they play tonight. Francisco Liriano go against Carlos Martinez. The last time Liriano faced Cardinals, he struck out 10 of them. The Cardinals are obviously looking for revenge, but Liriano wants to say no. Carlos Martinez going tonight for the Cardinals, and some criminal things are going on with him right now. So we'll see how all that works out. D-backs and Braves, Zach Greinke going up against Aaron Blair. Greinke looking to rebound, and Braves just not playing well at all. The Braves actually have less home runs than the Mets had in their previous series a little bit ago. That's going to do it for our show tonight. Sorry if you did not know. Usually on 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., but today we decided to 7 to 7:45 p.m. I will see you Monday, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., right here on blogtalkradio.com. To get involved in Inside MLB, you can head over to MLBinside.com for merchandise. And also check out our documentary. It's the opening day documentary. I know opening day has passed, but if you go to YouTube, look up Inside MLB opening day documentary. Click on it, and I think it's fascinating. I worked a long time on it. I hope you enjoy it, too, if you're watching it. And until then, we'll see you Monday. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. And watch baseball. I'm Matt Infector. Have a wonderful day.